The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go to the Masters live at 10:20. Bob Herrick, one of the best in the business, ESPN golf writer. Obviously, everything is around Tiger Woods teeing off tomorrow morning, his practice round yesterday, the Tiger-Phil relationship that at one time was nothing, now is everything. Bob walked the course yesterday with Tiger on his practice round. So we'll talk with Bob Herrick from Augusta live coming up at 10:20 this morning. Herm Edwards said some things that I find to be a whole bunch of nothing, but people turn it into something when they're trying to fill 3 hours of time on shows. The idea, and to fill stuff on Twitter and to get retweets and all that stuff. So you got to make something out of nothing, really. But I'm going to dive into this a little bit because there may be some of you that believe that what coaches run off players, scholarships can be revoked and so on and so forth. This really happens. It's fine. We should never pretend that we have all the answers in this business. There are times where I roll my eyes, like last night when the Suns are winning a game. It's just, and it actually looked like they're trying to give away the game for two open threes by the Kings in the final minutes. But when you're asking 20-somethings to tank, they just don't know how to do it. Goody at the Movies will be with us today. Chappaquiddick looks really good. I have not seen a screening anywhere I would have gone to it, so I have no idea if it's good or not. It comes out this week. Miracle Season comes out. A Quiet Place, it's with Emily Blunt. So we've got three movies with Bill because you got to know more than just sports in your life, guys. Got to have a little bit of entertainment. So Bill will be with us. And then Andy Stankiewicz, talk to the Lopes every Wednesday. We talk Grand Canyon University Athletics, GCU Baseball. They're going for a midweek sweep of a ranked opponent in UNLV. And Andy's daughter, she's a softball kid over at ASU. She was just named Pac-12 Player of the Week. So I want to talk to Andy about that. We'll have Talk to the Lopes. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, got to protect what matters most. I tell you day after day after day, have you logged on? Simply log on. Go to our website and you'll see Sagicor Now all over there. Or just go to sagicornow.com. Do it yourself. Log on. Get a free quote. Find out about life insurance and where you are in your space. Do it at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. We appreciate their support. Eric, should I do the whole opening segment on the Suns winning a game? Would you prefer me to move into some other things today? Or should we really go down this rabbit hole of what the WTH, WTF, whatever it is you guys want to say after everything that's gone on this year, and if it comes down to one more victory, what did that really accomplish?
They've tried so hard all season to do the right thing by losing, and now they're trying to blow it at the end. But luckily, they've lost so much, they actually have a little cushion ahead of Memphis. And the season's almost over, so they're bound to mess things up.
Oh, but wait, this is going to give them momentum into the offseason. Man, Marquise Chris is playing so great.
Who
he looks marvelous.
I haven't heard anyone say that.
I've seen that on social media. This is going to build momentum for the offseason. No, it's not. This does nothing. Zero. Marquise Chris is playing lights out now. Of course he is. His agent is telling him, dude, you've crapped the bed for the last couple of years. Do something so I got something to negotiate with out there.
And these are just glorified exhibition games anyway for the Suns, so it doesn't really matter.
Did you watch any last night?
Really? I was at the gym, and I watched the Diamondbacks beat Clayton Kershaw. That was my hour's worth of sports last night.
You got an hour's worth in?
I did.
Wow. You're looking thin, man.
Thanks.
You're looking thin. Must be working hard.
Lean, I think.
Lean.
I prefer lean, not thin.
You're looking drawn. How's that?
No.
Jared Nielsen's looking drawn. He is. You're looking thin. He's looking drawn.
Lean.
Do you want to look drawn?
No,
do you
I
look
want to lean? Be lean. I want to be lean.
I'm looking fat.
P-H-A-T?
P-H-A-T, fat.
No.
F-A-T, fat? I've gained a couple this year, by my own admission.
Happens. That's what happens when you run a business.
I was at Butters this morning. You ever been to Butters?
I have. It's a great place.
Gosh almighty.
It's a great place.
I'm sitting there having a breakfast,
they
talking football.
They don't cheat you either, which I love.
No.
And it's a full meal.
And I'm sitting there at 8 a.m. Before I know it, it's 9, and I'm Jabba the Hutt, man. They've just got to roll me out. I don't even know how I made it into the studio.
No,
I need
idea
a nap.
How we got from the Suns to breakfast places, but somehow you managed
I'm
to
looking
do that.
Fat. Looking fat. I'm in a fine mood today. Our TV show's coming up, man. We got shows all over the place. Show on Fox Sports Arizona is tonight. Brad Sussmat Football. I watched it last night. It's a good-looking show. It's good stuff. No, I guess I don't need to go into the Suns too much because you guys know that they shouldn't have won a game. They should not win. Last night does nothing. I don't care what the cushion is. If these guys can't finish the job and do it right, you've come this far. You've taken money from the fans, hard-earned money, to lose games intentionally without saying it's intentionally. So to go out there and have a 15-game losing streak, snap, our boys are getting it turned around. No, they're not. Alex Len had 17 and 15. He's not going to be here next year. On the baseball side, so what is it about Clayton Kershaw that the two left-handed hitters last night, Descalzo and Peralta, both hit home runs off Kershaw? It's kind of interesting. It's this season so far, the hometown heroes of nine on the base paths are 4-1. 4-1 start. It's pretty darn good against the Rockies, who were a team that was breathing down their necks last year, and the Dodgers so far this season. They're going for the clean sweep today with Corbin on the mound. Corbin against Alex Wood. I'm like Eric. I can't get enough of watching them. I found myself trying to find the Coyotes game, found the Suns game over on Fox Sports Plus, and then stuck with the Diamondbacks. And I saw some of the highlights this morning of the Coyotes. They won again. I wish the Coyotes season weren't coming to an end, to be quite honest with all of you. I wish that this season were continuing. They have turned into a pretty good little story. And a story that, while it's pretty good right now, if Ranta resigns, he had 42 saves last night. If Ranta resigns, and they do a few things here, and Clayton Keller has got people buzzing. I've got people that are sending me texts. Can you believe how good this kid is? Fans like seeing who's next. You guys like seeing the young play. You'd rather see a team of young, hungry, get-after-it players grow before your eyes than bring in a bunch of vets who are on their last legs just rolling through the motions. Or they're simply not the players they once were. I miss Shane Doan. Sure, I miss Shane Doan. But I think that even by Shane's own admission, this has turned out to be pretty darn good for the organization. It's kind of like this. When they brought Gretzky here and they didn't want to part ways, even though the thing was a complete train wreck on and off the ice, it was the best thing to have happen. Unfortunately, they've been in the ditch ever since. And then Shane was here as his career was winding down. And all that it was is watch Shane Doan tonight. Well, that's unfair to Shane. When Steve Nash was at the end, when Luis Gonzalez was at the end, yeah, it hurts for everybody. I remember talking to some people when the Suns traded Nash. They were crying, physically crying. Couldn't believe that they traded him away. It was the right thing to do. That's the hard side of sports. And so the Coyotes bottomed out. I mean, really bottomed out. We don't know if they're going to pull themselves out of this to find a place to play. I believe that they will. I believe that if you look at their young general manager and the talent acquisitions that they've had, they have found a way to purge the roster from a year ago. A year ago. Found a way to move through Mike Smith. Found a way to move through Shane Doan. Found a way to move through the departures. Anthony DeClaire, not a fit. Get out of here. And suddenly now, into this offseason, what are they going to add a key piece here, add a key piece there? They're in the playoffs next year. Suns, on the other hand, I can't say that definitely or even definitively. The Cardinals. So the Broncos are going to host Darnold, Rosen, Josh Allen over the next week. They're trying to find themselves a quarterback. The Cardinals, and by the way, outside of Peyton Manning, tell me exactly what John Elway has done to bring in the quarterback to figure things out. Tim Tebow? Trevor Siemian? So it's not always a given that just because you got it done on the field that it equates to being a general manager or a president that can make it happen off the field in talent acquisition. Look at Michael Jordan. My point on this is that the Cardinals are sitting there now and in 2 weeks Does it make the most sense just to stay at 15 and see if Lamar Jackson is there, if you're going to move up a little bit to get Lamar Jackson? It feels as though that is the favorable. If I'm to believe the people that are doing mock drafts, and most of them I don't, they're just an easy way to go get a bunch of page views, and it's just throwing darts. Let me stick a name here and a name here and a name. And I'm going to turn some guys upside down so people are going to say, ooh, the Jets might be the one. The people whose opinions I respect, and there's just a few of them, have the Cardinals taking either a quarterback or a wide receiver. I think they still need to address the wide receiver spot, even with their signing earlier this week. If these quarterbacks all roll through the Cardinals organization and they're to take a look at them top to bottom, I can make a case for Rosen. I can make a case for Darnold. I can make a case for Allen. What Jim Morris said doesn't mean a thing to me. Doesn't mean a dang thing. I wouldn't want my player to go to Cleveland. Even if you're a Browns fan, you got to admit, track record's not very good. So what, you know, what Jim Morris said, it's fine. So what does it mean for the Cardinals? We'll talk about that a little bit as the show progresses. But up next, we're going to go to the Masters. Bob Herrig will join us live in about 15 minutes. Herm Edwards, his press conference that caused a kerfuffle, as we like to say, a bunch of uproar nationally. We'll have that, some pieces of that at about 10:35, and then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Here in Arizona, of course, there's a golf course on every corner. I was told at one time there's 98 golf courses in Maricopa County alone. And that's because we have great climate, great weather, great everything. And it also means there's golf fans everywhere. And this week, with being Masters Week, of course, there's interest. But the Tiger Beat, that is what Bob Herrig is on, the senior golf writer for ESPN.com. I shouldn't even say that's the only beat you're on. It's good to have you back on the program. You can follow Bob over on Twitter, at Bob, H-A-R-I-G, on Twitter. He is down there at Augusta. How has this week been different for you compared to the last few that you've gone to, Bob, and covering Masters?
Yeah, hello. You're right. It's the Tiger Beat is somewhat true in that there's just been so much attention given to him and in his comeback. And now this is his first Masters in 3 years. And not as only is he playing, but, you know, there's this sense that he can compete and contend. So it's made it a lot different. We've got a lot of big name players who are seemingly under the radar because of Tiger and Phil to some degree, be taking away all the attention because obviously for good reason there's a lot of attention that's going to go his way.
Bob, have you followed him yesterday, right, in the practice round or earlier this week? You've been
I
out.
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what can you take away from that you can share to the listening audience and watching him in a practice round? What struck you, if anything?
Well, I'll be honest. It's something I've seen pretty much every time he's been out this year. I've been at every event he's played, and there is a clamoring to get a glimpse of him. There is seemingly a true joy in having him back and getting to watch him play again. And, you know, it's, I think those of us who do this kind of take it for granted, you know, but there's a whole segment of people out there that have never watched Tiger play golf,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's due to the injuries or age or what have you. But, you know, there's lots of people who never got to watch him in his prime, and there's a new generation of kids who have turned into teenagers and adults who've never watched him, and they want that opportunity. And, you know, they're loving the return, and you see it in the crowds and the enthusiasm that he generates.
What's interesting to me, and we're talking with Bob Herrig, who's there at Augusta, at Bob Herrig on Twitter, ESPN senior golf writer. What's interesting to me is people that have said, I didn't know that Tiger and Phil didn't like one another, that they didn't have a relationship, and it just came together in the last couple of years. To your point, those people that have come into this party rather late, where guys like you and I have been seeing this for 20 years, what can you say on that Tiger-Phil relationship that's fact versus fiction?
Well, it's true. They were not buddies. They were, you know, maybe just barely cordial. And, you know, you got to remember this Phil's been a pro since 1992. Mm-hmm. Tiger came along in 1996. And while Phil has always been appreciative and, laudatory towards what Tiger's accomplished, they just were not close. They did not hang out together. They didn't say much praise towards one another. There's only one practice round that we can think of that they played together before yesterday in a tournament other than maybe it's the Ryder Cup or something where they had to. And that was 20 years ago. They just didn't run in the same circles. I mean, mostly they weren't even paired together in tournaments.
Right.
Unless they came together through score, you know, which we saw many times over the years. But the first two rounds, hardly ever. Part of it was competitive. I would say it was more Tiger. You know, he just was not one to let a lot of people in. He wasn't close to a lot of people in his realm during that time. He was friends with Marco Mira, who's quite a bit older. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really close to guys he was trying to beat. And, that's changed here in recent years. He's not played as much. These guys have been on a lot of Ryder Cup and President's Cup teams together. And although there might have been some tension in the early days, now they're both very, very involved in the process of the Ryder Cup. They're on a committee only three people, the two of them and the captain, who's now Jim Furyk. I mean, they are playing a big role in the future of the Ryder Cup and also to some degree the President's Cup. And, you know, next year Tiger's going to be the President's Cup captain. He's an assistant captain for the Ryder Cup this year, as he was in 2016. So, part of it's that, and, part of it's just a mellowing. I think Tiger's gained with some age, he's gained a lot more appreciation for what Phil's accomplished. There's a great respect there for what he's done, and maybe that wasn't there so much in the early days when he was so single-minded in his approach.
What produced the thaw? Was it Tiger bottoming out and Phil being there, as some have reported? Do you buy into that? What caused the thaw between the two?
I think it was a slow evolving, kind of a confluence of events. I don't know if it was any one thing. I think it just sort of was, was happening. Mm-hmm. Being away from for a while there, I think Tiger gained some perspective. When he came back, to be part of the Ryder Cup team 2016, he really had not been around guys for the better part of a year. I think they welcomed him back in, appreciated that. And then, he went through it again after that. He played three tournaments and then had to shut it down again. And maybe there was some perspective gained. I don't think that Phil would want to block those doors. I think he would have welcomed this sooner of going. I think it took several things for it to all come together. And it's kind of neat to see, actually, they're two legends, and they could be going at it this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and I'll let you go off this one, Bob. Outside of Tiger and Phil, and if they are together this weekend going after it, A, do you expect that, just seeing them build up to this? And B, best story outside of those two this week? And I know there's lots and lots of them, but for you, senior golf writer at ESPN, you probably have something else you're zeroing in or looking at, saying, Brad, this may be something else outside of all the Tiger and Phil buildup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily expect them to be there. I think they could be there. Mm-hmm. I still think in Tiger's case, it's a lot to ask at this point. He's played so little, 18 rounds of competitive golf this year. If somebody else had that little, they at least had all of last year to build on, but he hasn't had that. it's been a, you know, it has been a crash course in in putting his game together really since October, late October, into November. It's just not that long, you know. Phil's obviously been playing pretty well. He had a tournament win a month ago. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he were up there. But, I mean, I think, you know, I picked Justin Rose to win. I think Roy McIlroy is an incredible storyline. He could complete the career Grand Slam with a victory.
Yep.
He just won 2 weeks ago. I mean, those are two pretty big ones right there. And there could be, you know, a dozen other ones. Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson's number one in the world. We haven't even mentioned his name. John Rahm's a great young player.
Yep.
Jordan Spieth, would we ever count him out here after the way he's played here? Sergio, defending champion. You know, there's just, I just think that we have a lot of guys playing really. Bubba Watson has won twice this year, won the Masters twice. The guy's playing well right now. I think that makes it, I think it makes it wide open.
Well, it'll be interesting to see your process, I'm sure, as you're looking at the leaderboard saying, I got to jump over here or jump over there. Do you just stay in the press room and just gut it out? Because as you said, there are so many storylines to this year's Masters, with Tiger being the 800-pound story in the room. So it'll be fun for you. I appreciate the time and insight as always, Bob. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me. Take care.
You got it. There's Bob Herrig. Good stuff there. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Bob Herrig. On Twitter. He does a great job. Senior golf writer there with ESPN. It's always a pleasure to have him on the show. It's good stuff. Herm Edwards talking about your job's on the line, essentially. What, a college kid shouldn't be threatened? Oh, my gosh. Oh, we're on scholarship. What do you mean? This is we're going to have negative recruiting. Come on. Get into that, and then Goody at the Movies, Talk to the Lopes. A lot to get to as we move on a Wednesday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona tonight. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, and our television show on ABC this coming Saturday night. Sports360AZ at 8 p.m. following Thunder and Rockets. We're back with more after this timeout. Welcome back. Goody at the Movies comes up in about 15 minutes, our weekly conversation with Bill, because you need to have a life. You just can't do this sports thing every day. And Bill and I are going to talk today, as we do every week on the movie front, about Miracle Season, Chappaquiddick, which looks really good, but I have not seen a trailer on it outside of a short little blurb, and also A Quiet Place. So we've got three movies with Bill. That comes up in 15 minutes. I want to get into Herm Edwards today because yesterday, my phone started blowing up on this whole, can you believe that Herm Edwards said that this scholarship is going to be revoked and you're never going to be able to play here because you're out on the field? How can a coach say that? It's going to be negative recruiting and so on and so on and so on. And I'm just done with this whole deal with you guys. Some of you just need to breathe a little bit. If you think a coach can't have a hammer, okay? If you think a coach can't just step up and say, look, you're in the training room, I can't evaluate you, then you're the problem. That's being soft in this day and age. A coach has got to be able to evaluate players. I don't care if his dad owns a construction company. Don't care. Can the guy play the game? Is the guy a good teammate? First and foremost, what's the GPA? Really not that hard. So when I get run over here on this, ASU is going to have negative recruiting all over the place. You know what? If it's all about sucking up to a kid, you're the greatest thing ever. You can come here. There's no tough love here. There's none of this. We're going to have a great time. Then knock yourself out. Okay? So for a contextual state on this story. Here's what Herm said. Rather than me just reading it, here's the video of what Herm Edwards said yesterday. Take this in, then tell me what you think.
It's always evaluation. It's always participation. It's always autograph your performance. That is your resume when you practice. And I told some guys, if you continue to stay hurt and stay in the training room, you have no tape. You can't grade you if you're not on tape. You can't grade you in the training room. So all of a sudden, some guys got well. It's amazing. So I think, you know, college football is one of those unique sports in the fact that you give out 85 scholarships, And I think sometimes these players just think, well, it's 85 scholarships, so I'm good. No, you're not good. You've earned a scholarship because of your ability to be a student athlete. You got to make sure you handle that part of the assignment, being the student part, and then being an athlete part. It's a combination of both. And when you don't meet that standard, there's consequences.
All right, that video courtesy of Sun Devil Source. We appreciate Chris Cartman and their staff over there. When he says we give out 85 scholarships and then guys think I'm good, he's right. Those scholarships every year, man, if you're not getting it done in the classroom, you're not good. People think that this is a four-year taken care of, no problems, no questions asked. No, it's not. So do players get run off? Absolutely, in the college level, players get run off. They'll never term it getting run off. Some of it's through attrition. That's why when it's letter of intent day and I sit here with all this nonsense of stars being put, well, we got all these five-star kids. Yeah, and their GPA looks like somebody dropped a grenade on it. So what do you know? They don't make it. There's some players this year in our state. Lots of stars. They got stars between their eyes because they're not going to go on to college or they're going to have to sit out this year because they did nothing in the classroom. That's what he's talking about. A coach has every right, if a player is not able to be on the field, to say, you know what, you're not out here. So I don't get when ASU has been mired in mediocrity. Let's be honest here. As I sat through the end of Todd's last season and pointed out that since the Rose Bowl team at Arizona State with Jake Plummer at quarterback, they're 9 games over .500 as a team. 9 games over .500. That's mired in mediocrity. When every year you've got to book plane tickets to go to places like El Paso. Nice people in El Paso. I don't want to go to a bowl game in El Paso every year. Las Vegas, nice place to go for a day. That's not Pasadena. That's not Atlanta. If you're content by saying, well, we went to a bowl game, then maybe you want this idea of, well, this kid's great. He's not out on the practice field. So, you know, it's fine. He'll be there when it really counts in September. No, that should not be the case. I also liked when we used this on the Football AZ show where Herm looked right in the camera and said, guys, we know Manny Wilkins is our quarterback. We know N'Keal Harry's our quarterback. I may disagree a little bit on Manny's deal because I've had people that have told me within the walls and outside, he's neither won games or lost games. He's neither won games nor lost games. So there's got to be a progression a little bit, I would think, just my humble opinion. The quarterback room's pretty thin over there now. So there's evaluation going on, but if guys are in the training room, I don't think I'm going to make it out to practice today. And then he throws out what he threw out yesterday, and all of a sudden, what do you know? Kids are not in the training room. They're out being evaluated. When he says, I have no tape on you, it's hard for me to evaluate you. How can you be critical of a coach? If you don't show up for the geometry class, if you don't show up for whatever class it is you're taking, and then the final exam comes along and you haven't been there, you just think you're going to walk on in and make it happen? There's certain guys on the football field that can do that. Very, very few, in my opinion, through the years. And they're not being good teammates. So why go after Herm on this one? When I see on social media, and I'm not calling that the end-all of end-alls, it is the largest sports bar in the world, social media, saying, oh, Herm's not going to be able to track players. This is already a train wreck. He should never have said that sort of thing. He's going to lose all sorts of recruits. He's going to find guys. And in fact, I would dare say, I want to be playing for that coach who's going to drive me and push me further rather than, you can miss today. On the other side, what do you want to jump in on this one? You want to jump in on this one, E?
No, I mean, I guess it happens at schools more often than we think, especially when new coaches come in. I mean, scholarships are lost.
Is that what he's saying here, that he's just going to run guys off, though? This is different to me. This was not a run. I'm going to run you guys out.
Yeah, but it might just be his way of saying he's going to run guys off.
It might be.
Because it happens, especially you see it. It's more visible in college basketball. Because the rosters are so much smaller.
Yeah, it's less numbers.
Like a new coach comes in, and magically the next season,
five guys are gone.
Maybe. Four guys are gone. Yeah. Guys that aren't graduating, wink, wink. They're just sort of, they basically get sat down in the coach's office, and the coaches basically say, you don't have a scholarship here anymore, so you have a choice. We'll help you get to whatever school you want to. We'll say nice things about you.
But I think that's apples and oranges. In basketball, you're right. Okay, you're right. Bobby Hurley can come in here. Dan Marley can come in over there. And all of a sudden, three or four guys leave.
But in football, it's the same way, Brad, because Herm Edwards wants his guys. Yeah, he's already said he's recruiting a completely different type of student-athlete than Todd Graham did. He's
but
already established
guys,
that.
85 guys on scholarship versus 11, 12. Okay?
It's apples and oranges, but in a way, it's similar. It's just dealing in smaller numbers.
But it goes back to, I'll give you an example. I've heard forever, well, ASU cannot attract top offensive line talent because it's too hot here year-round. To me, that's just bogus. But every year, it feels as though top offensive linemen don't stick around here. Maybe there's something to that.
It's funny, though, because most of the time, if it's hot, the offensive linemen are in the bubble. So I don't
know. Yeah, they're in the bubble. Right. But
they're indoor practice facility.
But give me the last time they really cleaned up in-state on offensive linemen. And it doesn't happen.
Right.
So what have we seen through the years? Guys getting converted, guys getting moved around, hearing, well, we don't really have any depth on the offensive front. Maybe in Herm's case, and Kevin Mawai being over there now, maybe in their case, just in that position alone, it's we want to do this a little differently. Going into the training room because it's too dang hot doesn't work.
Yeah, and the state's top recruit 2 years ago, Austin Jackson, is an offensive lineman, and now he's at USC.
Yeah, but you know, in Austin Jackson's case, you're right.
Austin Jackson had ties to USC.
Yeah,
so
ties
that
to
wasn't,
USC.
That wasn't a huge shock.
And you're never going to keep everybody in state.
And you're usually not going to win recruiting battles with UCLA and USC. That's just a fact.
You're right.
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
You're right. All right. We've run long here. Goody in the Movies, at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, at least at 10:50. Some of you are consuming this at 8:50 at night, which is fun. It's the beauty of digital. But you have to have a life. You've got to go see movies. Goody at the Movies is with us. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. And more importantly, he has let it be known both on social media and everybody who's willing to hear him at the top of the mountain that he has adopted the Diamondbacks this season. And doggone it, they're 4-1 with you leading the parade. So you've not screwed this thing up yet.
I feel like that's true. I'm I'm not a fair weather fan because I still can never really shake the, you know, from working in sports. I wonder if I'll ever really be a true fan of any team again. You know, I'm always going to have a little bit of a cynical, you know, get this thing over with attitude. But
let me jump in on that. Get this thing over with. So the other night when they were playing at 12:30 in the morning, were you saying get this thing over with?
Well, because I was working late, and I had the game on the background. And I was watching it. I got interested, and I was watching it. Top of the 15th, the Dodgers score, and I was like, "Well, that's it. I'm sleepy. I'm going to bed."
You missed the end of the game.
I missed a walk-off.
You stink as a fan. You're terrible as a
I'm
fan.
I'm getting there. All right, but I got to 12:30. Didn't get to 12:35.
Hey, at our age, getting to 10:30 is an accomplishment. Come on.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into these movies. So Chappaquiddick looks really, really good. I have not seen a screening anywhere for it, so I have no idea. I would have liked to have seen this in advance. Have you seen it? Is it any good?
It is very good, and it's interesting that it's not – I don't know why that is. What's funny about this movie is, of course, Chappaquiddick, and this is what I said in my review, there was a time when you didn't, to people our age, and certainly people older than, not a lot older than us, but older than us, you needed no explanation. The word meant all you needed to know. It was, you know, Mary Jo Kopechne was Ted Kennedy's passenger in a car. He crashed the car into a kind of a pond-like thing. He got away and drowned. She drowned. He got away out of the car and didn't report it for 10 hours. He certainly continued to become a senator, to be a senator, but he was never going to be able to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to kind of explain all that to people because they don't know what it means. But what's interesting about this movie is Jason Clarke, who's actually Australian, does a great job of playing Ted Kennedy. And they get all that. They get the crash and everything. And they sort of explain it in the context of how it happened. But what's really interesting in this movie is what happens after that. And how Joe Kennedy Sr. gets the whole JFK team together to really try to damage do some damage control.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Kennedy comes off as a real stooge, really. I mean, he's okay, he's of course he's sad for a while, but he's also really just, you know, more interested in what's this going to do to his career. And he tries to help this team that's helping him, but he's such a dope that he keeps screwing it up. And, you know, they're mad at him, and he's mad, and he's frustrated. It never explains how people really got over it, because they did. He became the fourth longest-serving senator in history. But just the explanation of what we do get, I really enjoyed. I thought it was fascinating.
Okay, so let me ask you this. In the trailer, and I'm watching it as you are talking, it says, based on the untold story. So how did this script come together? How much creative license did Hollywood take on this? How true is this story?
Well, I think that, I mean, these are first-time screenwriters, and they it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I think most of this stuff is known and has been reported. And if there's, you know, if there's a something to pick nits with about it, that's probably it. I mean, there's not. If you've studied this, you're probably going to know most of this stuff.
Right.
They don't answer some. They don't answer some of the questions, but I mean, some of them you can't answer. I mean, unless you're Ted Kennedy or Mary Jo Heckney, and they're both dead. I mean, they're not. He wasn't going to answer them. So, but it never feels like, oh my God, that couldn't have happened. You know, I mean,
No. But Bill, Bill, I'm wondering, do you leave this movie feeling empty? Like, I don't have all the dots connected, or there's no reason to connect all the dots. That's the story.
No. The only dot really that isn't connected, and I don't know how you do connect that one, is why did people let it go?
Mm-hmm.
How did he get paid? And they didn't completely. Again, I mean, he knows there's a scene in the movie where he tells this woman who's like, you know, people get, look, her parents are over, they're not blaming you and all that stuff. And he says, you know, my chance for the presidency died with her. And that, I think that is true. But beyond that, he certainly got past it. The question that this movie raises in a pretty interesting way is whether he should have.
Got it.
But if you look at current politics, what is Donald Trump's famous or infamous thing? I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. This stuff has gone on forever and continues to go on.
Bill Goodykuntz, Goody at the Movies with us. All right, let's move over to Miracle Season. It's got a sports side to it. Miracle Season, is this any good?
I probably overrated it because I am the absolute target audience for this. I have a kid who plays volleyball in college, a kid who plays volleyball in high school, and a kid who plays volleyball in junior high.
No, you're going to give this the benefit of the doubt. You're a volleyball dad. I gotcha.
But yeah. I'll say this. It's got a good cast, Helen Hunt and William Herter in it. And it's based on a true story. And, I mean, it is just heartbreaking. It's this. The setter for this team that had won the state championship the year before gets killed in a crash, you know, just like a day or two before the regular season starts. And they have to, you know, and yes, it's sort of the cliche thing. They don't want to play, and they come together, and they, you know, can they come back and win the state championship? And it's based on, you know, a true story. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Now, I'm looking at the previews right now. William Hurt's good. I like William Hurt, and I like Helen Hunt. I mean, I think it's a good cast. It looks somewhat predictable.
It's predictable, but I mean,
all right.
I guess you don't know. I mean, you may not know if they actually win the state title again. What's nice is that aside from the two lead characters, the girl who died and her best friend who has to become a setter to take over for her, other than that, they cast volleyball players. And so, like, when they show game action, it's really exciting. It's not like, oh, well, that doesn't look real.
Yeah. Most sports movies, you and I have talked about this through the years, most sports movies just are dreadful when it comes to the real-life action. And this does look like they had real setters and real outside hitters and all that stuff. All right, in our remaining moments, let's get over to Emily Blunt's deal, A Quiet Place. And how, was this any good?
Terrific. Love Emily Blunt. And her husband, John Krasinski, who most people know from The Office, co-wrote this movie and directed it and stars in it with her. And he's a smart dude. He went to Brown. I mean, he's a clever fellow. But it's about this. There's been some sort of invasion, and you don't really know exactly what, of these aliens. And there's almost nobody left. But there's this family, and they have to live in complete silence because whatever these creatures are that have invaded, they're deaf, No, they're blind. They would have to be blind. They're blind. So you can stand there right beside them, but if you don't make a noise, they'd go right past you. But they have, like, this super hearing. And, if they hear you, they get you, and they get you bad. Mm. And so the family kind of has to go through all this. And part of the challenge that's upcoming is that Emily Blunt's character is pregnant.
Ooh. So okay.
There's
a twist.
It is really creepy, and really, it just, you are on edge from the start. Once you figure out what's going on, you're just, a lot of people don't like to be on edge. So you don't like horror movies, this isn't for you. But if you do, it's clever. It's a different twist on that kind of thing. And he's a good director. I mean, he really does a nice job of giving you just what you need to know to keep you interested, but not so much that you're not always, like, trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah, it looks creepy in the previews, so...
It is creepy.
Which one of the three would you say go see this weekend?
I probably like The Quiet Place the most, but I like Chappaquiddick a lot too. And my kids would probably watch the volleyball movie 10 yeah. times in a row.
Over and over.
Volleyball people.
That's right. All right, get out of here. Appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
All right.
Here's Good Eat the Movies. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. Good Eat the Movies every week. Good stuff there. Talk to the Lopes is next with GCU head baseball coach Andy Stankiewicz. Always love talking with Andy. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week, year-round, we do Grand Canyon University athletics across the Fruited Plain at GCU on the west side. The baseball season well underway, about the halfway mark of the year, about 28 games to go. And GCU on the season, 5-1 in conference play. They look for a midweek sweep of UNLV, who's been in the top 25 most of the season. That means we have Andy Stankiewicz with us, which is always good. Love talking with Coach Stankiewicz. How are you?
Brad, good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right, so let's just stop baseball for a minute, because the breaking news around the Stankiewicz household is your daughter made Pac-12 Player of the Week honors. So Marissa, who's a terrific softball player. So congratulations on that front.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. She's very proud of her. Obviously, she's been there for 5 years now. So, but she's just worked hard. She's got a great opportunity. And when Coach Ford came in, and Coach Ford has done just a masterful job. And I've been able to kind of watch them from the stands there and listen to my daughter's conversations as well with her teammates. And so it's exciting to see them have success, and as a parent, obviously excited that she's having a role in that success. So, but it's been fun watching it.
Is she better with the glove than you?
She's a better bat than me.
Get out of
glove,
here! Get out of here!
I gotta have something.
You gotta
have something. I gotta have something. I gotta hold on to something.
What can she do? What can she do with the bat that you can't?
Well, she hit homers. She hit three over the weekend. You look at my bubblegum card. There's not a whole lot of homers on the bubblegum card. So,
how many career home runs did you have, Andy? Come on, let's get.
I think like four in the big leagues, but in the minors, I not very many. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So she's chasing you. So where did she learn how to hit if it wasn't from you?
She's a grinder. She's in the batting cages. She's always working at it. You know. That's cool. She's a good worker.
One other question about this. Do you get to see her, in all seriousness, do you get to see her play much, because your schedules are pretty well the same this time of year?
Yeah, it's been tough. There's been some, like, Sunday afternoons where we've been able to play at our noon games. And so if they have an evening game or 3:00, 4:00 start, I can sneak over there to Tempe and watch her play. And so it's kind of hit and miss. It's not easy. Like you said, the spring schedules are pretty much really similar. And so, but whenever I can get over there, I certainly try to get over there and watch. Sometimes it's just for, you know, an inning, two or three.
Sure.
But it's always fun when I get over there.
Got to do it. Andy Stankiewicz with us, GCU head baseball coach. All right, let's go through your season. So 13-14 on the surface, you look at it and say, wow, that's rough. 5-1 in conference play. That's very impressive. I dig deeper in 13-14 and say, well, you know, you play Fullerton State and you play a lot of the teams that you've played. Are you about where you want to be here with 28 games and change remaining before the WAC tourney, or are you a little disappointed? Are you a little bit further ahead than what you thought you'd be? Talk about the season.
Well, I'll be honest. I thought we'd be. We scheduled. We've always kind of scheduled tough, you know, right. trying to really count ourselves. And so, but I did feel like going into this season, you know, because we're a little bit older, I felt like we would be more ready for the challenge of a tougher schedule. And so I'll be honest, Brad, I thought that we'd be a little bit better than we are right now. But we're and injuries happened in the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. We lost Jack Schneider, our Sunday starter last year, was 7-0. He ended up having Tommy John about 2 weeks ago. We lost our designated hitter after weekend one, Cuba Best. And so kind of put us back a little bit. But still, I do feel like we should have. I thought we'd be more competitive against the Fullertons and some of these programs that we played, Kansas. But at the same time, we got to grow and we get better. And last year, you know, we look at where we were last year going into conference. Our records were almost identical, non-conference. Mm. And so, you know, if we can, you know, do the same thing we did last year and have a great conference and get into the WAC tournament and have success, I think it'll all be for the good, you know, because that is the design, is to get better as the season moves further into spring and hopefully in the WAC tournament and be really working well and at that moment. So I'm hoping that's we feel like that's what's starting to take place. We played a good game last night. You know, UNLV is good. They can really hit. Our pitchers did a really good job of controlling their bats because they could, you look at their team batting average and their RBIs and homers, man, it is a big, physical, strong team. And so to get a W last night was really big. I thought we played a really good game. So we're looking to do that again this afternoon and just kind of keep it rolling into conference.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is where it turns here at the midpoint because you still have to play U of A. You go on the road to Illinois. I mean, you've got some bigger opponents within the conference. What do you see so far? You're 5-1, but what do you see conference-wise so far, Andy?
Well, I think it's going to be – I don't know that – last year we went 20-4. I think this year it's going to be teams are going to be beating up on each other. I don't know that anybody's going to go 20-4. I just think it's just kind of looking around the conference and nobody's really sweeping anybody. I think it's going to be really kind of a dogfight to the finish. And so I think, you know, it's going to be, you know, more of a, you know, 18-6, you know, 16-8 type deal to win the conference. I just don't see. I think it's there's a lot of parity in the conference this year. Utah Valley, who we have this weekend, is off to a nice start. And New Mexico State is always physical and strong, and Seattle's pitched well. And I mean, you go across the board, you know. So it's going to be, like I said, I don't think anybody's going to run away with it. I think it's going to be every weekend. It's going to be, you know, crucial just to win series. You know, take 2 out of 3, and take that and get to the next weekend.
Andy Stankiewicz with us, Talk to the Lopes. We do it every week here, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. You mentioned injuries earlier, which is part of any season. You know that. I know that. Give me a couple guys that you're now looking at saying, okay, let's move this a little bit further. Are there some guys that you're expecting a little bit more out of now that maybe at the start of the season it was, okay, they can come along, but now they need to step up?
Well, I think a crucial player in that respect is probably going to be Ethan Ivanko. He's a fifth-year senior. He's coming off Tommy John. He's healthy. He pitched Sunday at Northern Colorado, and he got a little bit of a rough inning that hurt him. But we need him to go. He's got some senior leadership, and he's been around. He's been in it for a while, and he started some games. And so we really need him to kind of keep moving forward well. And Jake Repovich, who's an older guy too, he pitched on Saturday, and he hasn't pitched, I think, as well as he knows he can, as well as we know he can. And those two guys are going to have to be kind of, you know, pivotal arms for us on a weekend. And look at some young kids are coming on. Brock Burton, this young kid from Desert Vista out here in Ahwatukee. He's a freshman left-handed hitting outfielder. He's put some good at-bats together, and I think that he's showed that he can compete at this level. But we've got some nice guys, some nice add-ons. We have a JC transfer, a kid named Pekai Winchester from Central. Grew up in Hawaii. That's just been hitting 3-hole for us and just been doing a great job with the bat, man. He's just really competitive at the plate. And Ian Evans just keeps doing what he's been doing. And so I think we're getting better. I think that's the key is I think the guys are starting to, you know, they know that we played those tough teams for a reason, and we may not have been as successful as we wanted to be, but I do feel like it's helped us grow and get us to become a better ball club down the road here.
One other question for you before I let you go. We're talking with Andy Stankiewicz, Talk to the Lopes every week, GCU Athletics right here, sports360az.com, and we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. That is, and you may not be able to answer this question, I'll just be straight up with you. We're working on pieces, and we're hearing about the upcoming baseball draft in June this year, how there's going to be some players at the very, very top of the draft, which in Arizona has not happened, that could be one, two, or three. And I'm not going to throw names out. You know who they are. In your space with your team, if you're looking ahead at the draft this year, are there some players that fans should be taking a look at saying, this guy is getting looked at by Major League Baseball? And there may be a ton of them. There may be a couple that you feel like singling out.
Well, I think our Friday night starter, Jake Wong, I think that if you were to come watch him pitch on Friday night, our fans, well, they would see a lot of scouts here watching him. Jake's kind of grown in the program, done a really good job. I think he had a great Cape Cod summer league. He kind of put himself on the map out there, and that really collegiate, one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I think Jake is you know, I think he's put himself in a position where I think he's going to get drafted pretty good. So I think he'll be back for his senior year. I think that he's going to get an opportunity to sign, and he'll probably take it. And I think he should. I hope that players come here and they're really good for 3 years, and if they get a chance to chase that professional dream, that they do it. But I know this: if they do chase it, they'll be 3 years closer, you know, to graduating. They can come back four more year here at Grand Canyon and finish and get their degree. And so, mm-hmm. I've always been in favor of junior signing if they feel like they're ready to do it, you know. And I don't want them to sign for no money, you know, for pennies. But if it's a substantial amount of money that can kind of give them a little jump start, you know, from a financial end, then by all means, take it. Go start to chase that dream. But I think Jake is that guy. And I think we've got some juniors here that are interesting to the scouts. But I think for the most part, I think that they're later, a little bit later round draft picks. And I think that if you're later round draft pick, Brad, right, the offer is maybe 40 grand, 30
right,
grand.
Right.
You know, that's not life changing money. That's not, you know, after taxes, it's what, half of that. And so I think in that case, guys should come back to school and get their senior year done and graduate and then start a pro career. Because if you get drafted as a junior, you're going to get drafted as a senior as well. And so I think it's just kind of weigh out the options at those positions as a junior and senior, just kind of seeing what's best for them. It's not necessarily about the program. It's about what's best for them. I want guys to chase that dream.
That's good. No, that's good stuff. I know the runway is in front of you for this season, but it's good to hear what you see here in a couple of months away. I'll let you go off that. Best of luck. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
As always, Andy Stankiewicz. Good to catch up with Stank. You know, the idea of when Andy Stankiewicz played with the Diamondbacks and when he was with the Yankees and we were joking there off the top, he's gone over to Grand Canyon University. I've heard it on campus there, the impact that he and his staff have made on turning these ball players from just ball players into men. And that's good stuff there. Talk to the Lopes every week, sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us.